This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active, and I'm your host, Mike Dravenstot. I'm here with Bart Yasso, a Lehigh Valley native known by many as the mayor of running around the world from his many years at Runner's World. He was also inducted into the Running USA Hall of Champions in 2007. He's here today to talk about his new book, 100 Runs of a Lifetime, The World's Ultimate Races and Trails from National Geographic. It's a guidebook that contains 100 of the best running routes and races around the globe. Bart, welcome to WDIY and Active Lehigh Valley.
Hey, Michael. Thank you for having me as a guest. Yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm a big fan of NPR and I'm a big fan of WDIY.
Well, we're happy to have you here. How did the idea for the book come about and how did it evolve over time?
Yeah, so National Geographic has what they call this 100 series, and they've done like 100 slopes and 100 scuba dives and 100 bike rides. And then 100 runs just seemed to work perfectly. And they contacted me to be the author, and I was excited and jumped at the opportunity instantly that I would have a chance to write for National Geographic.
Right, and National Geographic, I mean, celebrating the Earth's beauty and wonder. And, you know, what did you kind of bring as part of that approach?
You know, one of the first things I looked at was, how many Instagram followers would National Geographic have? 278 million. I said, this is a brand that has a global following beyond belief. And also, I thought it was really interesting that they really thought highly of running, that this would be a good audience for them. So that combined the global impact it has, that they were excited about doing a book about running. I just couldn't pass it up.
Now, you didn't have any struggles getting to 100, right? The struggle was probably narrowing it down. So
Michael,
talk about that process.
Yeah, I had struggles getting it down from 200. I mean, I've done a lot of races over the year, over the past 48 years of doing races, and I've run all over the world. So it was really hard. And especially, you got to take it from, I had to take it, you know, they wanted about close to 40 runs that aren't a race. So that takes you down to 60 races. And it was hard to do because there are a lot of races that are great races, including some that happened right here in the Lehigh Valley. But I really had to just kind of parcel them out. So I covered a lot of areas geographically. It's like 60, 40, 40% being international and then 60% being domestic. So I had to break it all down and come up with something that is a global product and that would represent a lot of areas. So it was hard to do. There are some great races that I've run and they deserve to be in here, but you know, there's only so much space. You can't put 200 races in a book that says 100 runs of a lifetime.
Well, in addition to geography, what were some of the other qualities or characteristics that you were looking at to get them in this list?
Yeah, I wanted events or runs that just had this experience that you got to do one time in your life. You know, it's just like in the runs, not races category, I have the rim to rim to rim in the Grand Canyon. Run from the south rim to the north rim, back to the south rim. I've never done it. Been thinking about doing it for 48 years. I was out there one time. I was at the canyon, and I've run in the canyon. I just never, one of my visits, I just didn't have time to do rim to rim to rim. And then one time I was out there to do rim to rim to rim, and it snowed the night before. They closed the park. They closed the trail. And, like, you'd get arrested if you go out there. They don't mess around.
Well, they don't want to come save you.
Yes. So then the next day I thought, you know, there's a chance the snow will melt. They warmed up a little bit in the afternoon and went to sleep, set the alarm for, like, 4 a.m. and woke up, and it was snowing worse than the day before. So I just didn't – I had to get back to work. So it's still on my – like, the one that keeps me up at night to get out there and do rim to rim to rim. But that's one of those categories. It's a run, not a race. You can do it anytime. You can do it alone. You can do it five of your friends. You know, and I really like that there's runs in there that people can just, you know, because a race happens on a certain date and you have to be there and it conflicts with other stuff you got in your life. So the other runs, you can figure out best time you can get there and accomplish them.
Right. So the book is 400 pages and there are 100 runs. So, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages a piece? What sort of information is included when we talk about each runner race?
Yeah, so the info in there is you know, the ones that I've done, what I experienced out there, and what you need to know in advance to get out there, and then little tips on places to stay on some of them, and you know, just a little information to entice you to get out there. But it's more on why it's a race of a lifetime. You know, what is, why would I say this race you have to do in your lifetime? Mm-hmm. And so it really is that, just, it's beautiful, it's historic. You know, some can be because it's a fast course and you want to send a personal best. And some can be just be you want to travel to a certain area, run in the Himalaya. Whatever suits your fancy, there's one in this book that would do it.
And with National Geographic, there might be just a couple of beautiful photos?
Yeah. Yeah, there's only one photo that I provided, and I'm only in one photo. That'll tell you I don't have a modeling gig on the side. I only made it in one photo, and it was a photo that actually I didn't take. It was given to me by the Big Sur Marathon after the race. They gave me this beautiful photo, and that's in the book. So the rest of the photos are National Geographic photos, and I would, as you would know, they have a very large database of fantastic photographers.
Definitely, and so certainly a lot of useful information, but also a lot of visual inspiration as well.
Yes, yeah. I just got a message from a friend of mine. She lives in Minnesota, and she had bought the book and set it on a coffee table in their house, and her kids were home for the holiday because of Easter. And she said every time she walked into the living room, one of the kids had the book. They're not runners, but they were reading it or looking at photos. But she said every time I walked in the room, one of those kids had that book in their hand. So she said this book's going to take off just for that reason. Like they were drawn to it. Now, that could be the photography or, you know, the way it's broken down. And even if they don't do races, they could do the runs that are on there.
Definitely.
So, I think it'll touch a lot of people.
So let's talk about some of the trails and races in the book, starting with a couple here in the U.S. You mentioned the famous Rim to Rim to Rim.
Yeah, that's
in the Grand Canyon, which is awesome.
That's in part four, which is runs, not races. So it's broken down into four parts. The first part being less than the marathon distance. The second part, the marathon distance, since there's so many marathons globally. The third part is the trail and ultra runs. And then the fourth part is runs, not races. So I led each chapter off, each part, those four parts, with my favorite of each one. So for the opening, which is less than a marathon distance, I started out with Garden of the Gods 10-miler in Colorado Springs because, I mean, I've been there 20 times, and I'm still fascinated by it. I just can't. Those rock formations.
It's breathtaking,
it's a peaceful
isn't it?
Setting.
Yeah.
And the race is all in the confines of the park. I absolutely love that race. I just, you know, and I've run it a few times, so that's one of my favorites. And then when you get into the marathon, the Big Sur Marathon was the pick that I used because—
Out in California, right?
Yeah, in California, right on Route 1, like on the edge of the Western world. It's really a beautiful course, a tough course, a beautiful course. But I remember when I did it, there was someone from the local newspaper there, and, you know, first time I did it was probably 35 years ago, and there was someone from the newspaper there, and the guy grabbed me, and he said, "What did you think?" And I told him, I looked right at him, I said, "If I was told I could only run one marathon in my life, Big Sur would be my choice." And they used that quote ever since that, and I believe it was 1990 when I gave them that quote, and I still see it on all their literature. And then when you get to ultras and trails, like the Comrades Marathon in South Africa.
Yeah.
And don't get fooled, for people that know the marathon means 26.2. In South Africa, the Comrades Marathon is 56 miles or 89 kilometers. They named it that in 1921, the first year, and they haven't changed it, even though they know 26.2 is the marathon distance. But the Comrades Marathon in South Africa is unbelievable. And then on the fourth part, I start off with the trail, the island of Kauai, the Hawaiian island of Kauai on the Nepali coast. The 11 miles out and back along the Nepali coast is just a breathtaking trail. Gets rated as by a lot of hiking magazines as the best hike in the world.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot.
So are there any of the runs or trails that are within striking distance of the Lehigh Valley?
Let me see. Are the trails? Yeah, the Wissahickon. The Wissahickon is definitely available, and it's north of Philly, so it is easy to get to from people from the Lehigh Valley.
I think I saw the Philadelphia Marathon in there.
And the Philly Marathon, that would be the other one. Yeah. I mean, the Philly Marathon has a great history, and they really take you on a tour of history in those early miles when you run by all the historic sites. And then you get out in the neighborhoods. But I love that combination of Philly. That's why it's in there. It's a nice combo of, historic buildings, history, Independence Hall, you see the art museum, City Hall. But then you get out in the neighborhoods where all the, go through some of the colleges, University City, I guess they call that area. And then you get beautiful along the Schuylkill River.
And then you get the turnaround to Manayunk, right?
Yes. Yeah. You pass all the young people handing out beer to people, and then you head back. And you don't have to drink the beer.
No, I
always warn people, like when someone says, we got beer for you, they really mean it. Because some people think they're joking and there's really water in there. There's really beer in there. Now, that's not part of the race people. It's the people in Manayunk that want to come out and they think you're going to run a marathon, you should have a beer at mile 22 or whatever.
Well, I've heard water on the left, Gatorade on the right, and Yingling down the way.
Yeah, that's awesome, Michael.
How about any trails or runs in Asia in this book?
Yeah, so in the Himalaya, this run that just is mind-boggling. So I was staying in Darjeeling, the famous tea city or town. And not far from there is a place called Manapajang. And I ran from Manapajang to another town called Sandifu. Climbs about 5,000 or 6,000 feet. And when you get up to Sandifu, there's a little place where everyone comes to pray. You're looking out over the Himalaya, and you can see four of the five highest peaks in the world.
Wow.
It's an unbelievable setting. And I remember there were some people up there praying, and I asked them, how often they come there. And they looked at me like I was crazy because they said, we come here every day to pray. And I'm like, I'm just not used to seeing people go to church every day. I was, I ask a stupid question. I should have been more aware of my surroundings. But they really, and I said, what happens if it snows or rains? They said, we're here.
Yeah.
Every day. It was an amazing run. And, I go on and on these runs. They're just incredible.
How about any down in South America? We don't think about that a lot here in the States.
Yeah, so one time I was climbing Aconcagua, which is in Argentina, the highest mountain in the Americas. And so I stayed in Santiago, Chile for a couple days until I went into Argentina. And I thought, Santiago's a big city, and it's kind of landlocked. The ocean over here, mountains in the backdrop. It was busy. There were roads everywhere. And someone told me about this park to go run in. And I said, okay, that's where I'm going. And, oh, my God, in the middle of all the chaos is this beautiful park they call. I just couldn't believe it. So I ran there every day when I was in Santiago before I headed over in Argentina.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're always trying to get away from cars and craziness and peace and quiet. And that's why I like locally the parkway, because it's quiet and peaceful and you don't have to deal with cars. And that's why I also like the rail trail. And this little park was like the same way, stuck in the middle of a big city, Santiago, Chile.
And you even have Antarctica in the book, right?
Yes, I did it, Antarctica. Now, when I went to Antarctica, I actually did the half marathon. But it is a two-loop course, so you could do the half or the marathon. And I did the half. And certain people look at Antarctica and see all just snow and frozen, everything's frozen, and they think it's stark and not a nice place to go. I had the exact opposite experience. I loved that part of it. And if you take your time and go on the outs, and do little day trips on the boat, you can just see the wildlife like you can't believe. You come up on a rookery or a colony of penguins, and sometimes there'll be 200,000 penguins stuck on a giant rock, and it it's mind-boggling to the eye to see that many penguins just hanging on a rock in the middle of the Antarctic Ocean. And a lot of whales we got to experience, which, I look at it that way and think it's teeming with wildlife, and it's beautiful.
Well, we're hearing some great stories from Bart Yasso here on Active Lehigh Valley. We're going to take a short break and be right back.
For the past three decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
And welcome back to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network. I'm your host, Mike Drabenstadt. We're here with Bart Yasso talking about the 100 Runs of a Lifetime, his new book. So, Bart, we were just talking about your experiences in Antarctica. How about any of the trails or races that you have in the Europe area?
Yeah, I mean, anything on Mont Blanc, I mean, these trail runners, they do this 106-mile race that go climb four major peaks in that 106 miles, and the best ultra runners in the world go there, and just it's amazing how fast they can go because it's not only the terrain but the elevation, and they just crush it. Now, the beautiful thing for a lot of us leading up to the big race, they have shorter races for other people like us so we don't have to go the 106 miles at the elevation, and we, you know, we wouldn't qualify anyway to be in the elite field. But they do have shorter races, and you get to run in the Alps and get all the beautiful scenery. And, you know, you get to feel like you're one of the big runners, even though it's just a shorter distance. And that's what I love. I think it's 4 days in a row leading up to the big day. And that's perfect for the race because it brings all the runners into town. And then they become the crazy spectators when the big race happens.
Exactly.
But it's unbelievable.
So there are 100 runs of a lifetime in the book, but there's actually a bonus one, right, in the introduction.
Yeah, I slipped one in there in the intro because when I was first contacted by National Geographic, the first thing I thought of was I got to tell them right up front, I'm going to tell them my run of a lifetime, what I consider my most favorite run. And it was in Tanzania in the Nuranguru Crater. Nuranguru Crater is about 30 kilometers around, 18 and a half miles roughly, and it's about 2,000 feet deep. It's a cauldron, and it has almost every animal that's on the continent of Africa in the crater. So it's kind of like you created a snow globe of Africa and put all the animals in the crater. It's just a magical place. And you know, I did a couple days in a crater, and the last day we were down there, I just said, I gotta convince the driver, they tell you you can't leave the vehicle. And I said, I got to convince them to let me run out of the crater. So took a lot of talking, and I promised them I would stay close to the vehicle. If wildlife shows up, I'll jump in the Jeep. You know, there wouldn't be any problems. And he still was reluctant. But when we got to the cliff where we're going to go up this 2,000 feet to get out of the crater, he gave me a nod. He said, okay, get out. And so I ran out of the crater and then got to the crater rim right at sunset, just this classic African sunset, this giant sun dropping down. It was incredible. And I always said, that is my favorite all-time run. I didn't know I would eventually call it my run of a lifetime. So I did stick that in the intro. Originally, the intro was just about my running experience and working at Runner's World magazine, things like that. And I thought, no, I gotta explain what is a run of a lifetime and come out with my one run of a lifetime, and then use that as, that's what I use for each run from there. So right. The other 100 followed the one in the intro. I did squeak in 101 in a sneaky way.
So we're talking about some trail runs, some races, some marathons, and some ultras, but I know just looking at this book, you don't need to be a runner to be enthralled by some of these places, like Garden of the Gods. You can go there and just walk some trails and just see the majesty.
Yeah, and I think that's what people that, you know, if you are a runner and have this on your coffee table, you may have a neighbor or friend that really isn't a diehard runner like you are, but they may be intrigued to go to these locations. And you're exactly right, Michael. You can. There's no sign that says you have to run this trail, so you can hike it, run part of it, whatever fitness level you're at. But they're all in pretty locations and they're all accessible.
Well, and to see, you know, the rim to rim to rim is a pretty audacious undertaking, but just to be on the rim of the Grand Canyon and see the vastness and majesty is just incredible.
And there's a trail right at the wall of the canyon is the rim trail. You can just stay on the rim trail and go out and back and not get into the crazy descent in a sense. and still feel, you know, you're still running or hiking in the Grand Canyon.
So have you ever met a trail that you didn't like?
Wow. Yes, I did, actually. It was in Shelby Park in Tennessee, which is right outside of Memphis. And behind the park was a shooting range. And apparently some of the backdrop they were shooting into was falling apart because bullets were coming through as we were running. Like, bullets went over our head and were hitting trees and leaves were coming down. And I'm like, this is real. These are bullets. We ran the other way. And when I found a park ranger and told him, he said, what are you doing out there? I'm like, well, we're following a path. We're not from around here. We're staying in a hotel. Someone said, run the trail to Shelby Park. We found Shelby Park and just got on the first trail we found, and it was really pretty. And all of a sudden, he said, but didn't you hear the guns? And we're like, yeah, but still we thought you can't just shoot and stuff bullets would fly to an area that the general public can walk through. Like, we were still on a trail. That was pretty scary, actually.
So that's not in the book.
That's not in the book, no. That did not make it. I like it, Michael. No, that did not make the chapter.
So whether it's one of the 100 runs or trails in the book or just one that you really appreciate, what makes a trail worthy of distinction or note in your mind?
Yeah, so, you can say why I love running in the parkway, to get away from traffic and it's quiet, but it's also well-maintained. Like, it is really a nice trail. Now, I love what we call rocky single-track trail. It is rocky if you live in Pennsylvania. I hear from hikers all the time. I go out and meet them on the Appalachian Trail, and they're a runner doing the Appalachian Trail, and they say, why is Pennsylvania so rocky? I said, I didn't put the rocks out here. But I love, for the general public to have a nice maintained trail that is doable for everybody. And the soft surface to be on is a lot nicer than running on a concrete sidewalk or road. So, the parkway and the rail trail that we have are really well maintained, and the D&L the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really well maintained, and each town that it goes through is responsible for their section. And people around here really take it seriously. They do a great job.
Yeah. What is it in your mind about a trail that can motivate people to be active and get outside?
I think the trail is just, it draws you there. It's something, you never know what you're going to see. You're running the parkway one day and you see a bald eagle. Next day you'll see deer, little fawns in May and June. So there's always something out there. And that's what, and then even in the cold, there's beauty out there. You see a snowy owl or something like that in the parkway. It's amazing the wildlife we have in the Lehigh Valley. And that I think is a draw for people, and that's what I love. I love being out there, and I'm always looking for bald eagles. We didn't have bald eagles just even 40 years ago.
Right.
And now there's lots of nests, and I see one almost every day.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And when it swoops down, whether you're in the parkway or whatever,
yeah.
It's...
And, younger people take it for granted because they see bald eagles, and we were growing up, there were no bald eagles visible in this area. So I'd love that you just don't know what you're going to run into when you're out there. It's good stuff, wildlife, people, but you got to get out there to experience it. That's the key.
Definitely. So you talked about your experiences in Tanzania and India. What are some of the other more memorable experiences you've had on a trail, whether it's in the book or not?
Yeah, I actually never run the Western States 100, but I've trained on the course a lot. The Western States 100 is out in California. It goes from the ski slopes where they hosted the 1980 Olympics, and then you end up in out just almost to Sacramento. And, to think the amount of people that do this 100-miler, it's just – and the amount of people that want to do it, they only allow, I think, 350-ish runners, which is what the permits they get from the state. But the amount of people that want to do it is like thousands. They have these lotteries and turn away thousands of people. There's more out there than we know. And I think there's other races that hidden gems. The Dipsy in California goes from Mill Valley to Stinson Beach. And that's the 7-mile race. But they have the double Dipsy, they have the triple Dipsy, and they have the quad Dipsy because so many people want to do the Dipsy. So, and that trail is unbelievable. It is a hard trail. If you get a rainy day, it's really brutal because it is really slick. And people that do that trail four times, 28 miles of something, I mean, I'm in awe of them. I don't know how they do it. I think 28.4 miles for the quad dipsy. And the only reason why they created the double dipsy, the triple dipsy, and the quad dipsy is because the dipsy, the one where you do the 17.1 mile loop, you can't get in the race. Like, it's so hard to get in. They only have so many slots. So people start a double dipsy that's a lot harder, so not – it's easier to get into, and then the triple dipsy is easier to get to. And if you don't get in either one of those three, they take you in the quad dipsy because there's not a lot of people signed up to run 28.4 miles on that trail.
Well, I know your first adventure as an author was your book, My Life on the Run. You shared some stories in there with some experiences around the globe. I know you've seen more wildlife than bald eagles, right?
Yeah, that's really true. I talk about My Life on the Run coming head-to-head with a – we were in a place called Chitwan Park, a reserve for tiger and rhinoceros, and we ran into an Asian rhino, pointed at us, was ready to come at us. I was running with another guy. We were doing a test on this trail that he was going to host a race on, and then he figured otherwise after we almost got in a bit of trouble with a rhino. It was pretty crazy for a while.
And what advice would you have for people to begin exploring trails and races if they're not a hardcore runner, not a marathoner, not a racer? What advice would you give?
You know, the running community is very welcoming, and you don't have to be hardcore. You don't have to be fast. You don't have to be young. Whatever level you're at, you'll get embraced by the running community. You just got to take that step and go out there. We have great running stores in the Lehigh Valley, and that's a great place to start because it'll make sure you're in the right shoes and the right equipment. And then you just have to show up at one of the runs they do, or the running club does some group runs. That's the way to start. I always say, you know, to create a runner, I just have to get them to one of the group runs and the running community takes over, takes this person under their wings and tell them, you can do this. Trust us. We got some Sally over here, Joe over here. They were just like you. They couldn't run across the street. And now they're doing a 5K or a 10K, and I love that part of our sport.
And just like we were saying about the trails, hey, for some reason, if running isn't your thing, getting out there walking, hiking
I walk. You can catch me walking on the rail trail, and no shame in being out there walking.
And when you say rail trail, you're talking about the Saucon Rail Trail?
Yeah, the Saucon Rail Trail.
One of your favorite places?
It's just so convenient to my home, and I just love the setting and the footing and the amount of people out there. It's like a good morning to everyone. You know, rarely do you get like 40 good mornings, but if you run on the rail trail around 8 in the morning, you run like 4 or 5 miles, about 40 people will wish you a good morning. I love that about it.
I think that's a good question, too. What sort of camaraderie have you seen on some of these trails and these runs over the years?
Yeah, you would think people would get out there and, you know, it's all about them, but it's the exact opposite. You know, they really try to encourage other people to join them. And we got so many, like, Trexler Game Preserve is another place that the trails are well run, and there's big groups that go out there. And they stick together and support each other. So, you know, there's a support group out there. But you just got to go to where you feel comfortable. I think like the Saucon Rail Trail or the DNL are like the easiest surface, and there's not a lot of hills. You get to the Parkway, there are some hills, but you can make it not as hilly, cut it short, you know, through the covered bridge and then stay on the one end of the Parkway where it's not that hilly. Just do what you're comfortable doing. That's what it's all about. The distance, the terrain. Chances are you may fall in love with it like we have. And you'll take it to another level.
Becomes part of your life.
Yeah, it's a great lifestyle. It really, there's a lot of benefits long term, and that's one of the hidden secrets of doing this stuff.
Yeah. Well, Bart, congratulations on your book, 100 Runs of a Lifetime. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and your inspiration with us.
Thank you so much, Michael.
And thanks again to our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network who encourage us to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm Mike Dravenstock, and this is Active Lehigh Valley.